The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Friday's racing on this edition. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:10 p.m. with Sean Quinn, John Babb and Gary Capewell in the studio. We have racing on the flat from Doncaster and Newbury, National Hunt Racing from Fakenham, and two all-weather meetings to finish the day, one from Wolverhampton and one over in Ireland from Dundalk. So good Friday to look forward to. My name is Mark Walton and joining me in the studio is Mick Norton. How are you, Mick?
Yes, good, thank you, Mark.
Good. The start of the two-day meetings at both Doncaster and Newbury getting underway on Friday. We're going to get Mick's thoughts on three of the races at Doncaster in due course. But just a quick look ahead to the weekend, Mick. Starting at Aintree, the Old Roan Chase, we now know that Antipo's favourite Dynast is not going to go to the race. What do you make of that?
Yeah, I don't know what... well, they said any reason why he's not going. Is it just... they're waiting for something else?
Yeah, they're just going to go straight to the Betfair Chase. So.
Right, without the benefit of a previous run. Yeah, probably going to leave that a bit wide open then, isn't it? There were plenty of entries. I would think that announcement before declaration time will have an impact on the size of the field, don't you?
Yeah, they won't be scared now, will they?
I think we'll get 14 runners, something like that.
Yeah.
Which would make it a cracking race, won't it? There's some very good horses in the five-day entry scheme.
Yeah, I was looking through the 5-day entries and there's some... Yeah. It could be a cracker if a lot of them stay in.
One that might be interesting is Mr Moonshine, who ran a cracking race over hurdles the other day on his season reappearance.
Yeah.
Obviously just to put an edge on him, because Sue Smith have all been needing a run.
Yeah.
And that should have put him cherry ripe for the Old Roan.
Yeah.
Because he ran so well in it last year, didn't he?
He did, yeah. So, that's interesting. You've got Uzixandra, I think, still in there, who's talented horse, Conquisto, who won it last year, also still in the lineup, and it's good news for him because he was a pound out of the handicap before Dynast came out of it. Now he's not, so he gets in on better terms. So it's interesting the way it shapes up. We'll obviously know more after the decks come through on Friday, but it should be a great race anyway, shouldn't it?
It certainly should. Very good entry at the at this early stage, I would think the news of Dynast's non-participation will have a big impact on the field, and I think we'll see a very, very competitive renewal with a nice mix there of horses from stables just getting going as well. Philip Hobbs, he's got Wishful Thinking. I wouldn't be surprised if he turns up there. Some of his best performances have been around the Marmee course, haven't they?
Yep.
And so it's all to play for.
It is. We'll learn more about that when the decks come out. We've also got good racing on the flat. The Racing Post Trophy is the feature race at Doncaster on Saturday, and we have betting on site for that. Elm Park, currently market leader at 7-4. 7-2 for Jacob Ian. 9-2 for Celestial Path. Restorer is 7-1. 8-1 for Snow and O, and then 14s or bigger prices for the others. A couple of significant absentees there, Mick, because Royal Navy Ship and Giovanni Canaletto, both from the Edna O'Brien stable, will not go there on Saturday now. But Elm Park's exciting, isn't it? What do you make of the favourite?
Yeah, he's done nothing wrong, has he, at all? In fact, he's improved with every race, and he's also done it on all different kinds of ground, and a really good workmanlike performance to win the Royal Lodge in the shape of a very hardy, not to be underestimated, colt who's going forward, which is what you want to win the Racing Post Trophy, don't you?
Yeah. Would you side with him, Mick, or is there something in there that you also like?
Well, I think with him taking a big chunk out of the betting, I like Celestial Path. I did see him win on his debut at York. I know it was a median maiden auction, but it's typical of Sir Mark Prescott to chuck one in at that level. And he doesn't have that many debutant two-year-old winners, does he? And then he made no mistake in the conditions next time, yet to encounter soft ground. But I don't think, looking at him, soft ground... Well, it's not even soft ground, is it, Mark, as we speak?
It's currently good to soft in places.
Exactly. So I think we haven't seen the best of him yet by a long chalk, and he's going to be, he's not going to be a giveaway price, is he? But he's certainly going to be a bit better than Elm Parks. And the other one who's going forward at a rate of knots is a Restorer. I know that was only a Group 3 that he was second in last time, but and he was 33-1, but it was still a very good performance, and Willie Muir's horses are in cracking form, and I wouldn't be at all surprised to see him outrun his price. He's going to be a big price in the Racing Post Trophy, isn't he? He was 33-1 in that Heron's, was it the Heron? No, the Autumn Stakes, wasn't it, at Newmarket? It was second behind Commemorative. You know, and doing it the hard way. It wasn't just running through beaten horses or anything like that. It was a really good good performance. He won his maiden on soft in Force Lass. Then he went to Kempton for a conditions race, which was respectable enough, third there in a small field. It was a bit of a messy race, but that was more like it. And I really liked the way he went about his business, his Son of Master Craftsman. And I wouldn't be at all surprised with the dead eight, if they stand the ground, if he outran his price. You talked about Jacobean being in second favourite. Only had the one start. That was at only a couple of weeks ago. Looks like a bit of an afterthought to me. He started 130 favourite, came from miles off the pace. A stable companion at 6-1 called Royal Navy Ship got first run on him. And basically, he's just got going too late, Jacobean. He'll probably learn from that, and the step up in trip, being a son of High Chaparral, who was a former winner of the Racing Post Trophy himself, of course. He should appreciate that. And it looked a strongish maiden as well in the Curragh. So, but it just smacks me as an afterthought for Jacobean. I mean, he's obviously going to be winning races in his own right, probably next year as a three-year-old, but it'll be some performance if he can go and take that on the back of that one run in the Curragh.
Yeah, interesting that Aidan O'Brien had Navy Ship in the lineup, who won that race, and then taken him out and left Jacobean in. Okay, well, that's coming up on Saturday. Good Saturday coming up. We've also got pretty good Friday coming up as well, and we'll get Mick's thoughts. He's picked out three races for us at Doncaster, and we'll hear his selections on the back of this.
William Hill Racing Radio. From the first race until the last, it's everything to give you the inside track.
Okay, starting in the 3:30 at Doncaster, that's the first race that Mick's picked out, and this is a Class 2 handicap over 6 furlongs for 3-year-olds and older. We have 22 of them in the lineup here. It's going to be somewhere like 6-1 the field, I imagine, Mick. So which ones do you like in the 3:30?
Yeah, there's a race at York a couple of weeks ago that might have a bearing on this. Quite a few of them ran in this. The one who came out best of the lot of them was Another Wise Kid, trained by Paul Midgley. Graham Lee takes the ride. He's had a really good season already, Another Wise Kid, holding his form really well. He can run here off the same mark as that excellent third of 19 behind Spinatrix at York last time. Did win at York himself in earlier on in his career. He was and a good winner at Pontefract in July. And that third behind Spinatrix showed that he's holding his form really well. He's yet to win off a mark this high, but two notably excellent efforts off 99 the last twice suggests to me that it might not be beyond him. So the horses who ran in the York race, Another Wise Kid, I think, will come out best again. Bogart, now, he's a frustrating horse, isn't he? He got his head in the wrong stall at York last time. Of course, he got left behind unseated Amy at the start. It wasn't her fault. He just as they were about to press the button, he stuck his head into the next stall, couldn't go anywhere. But he'd gone into that on the back of really good efforts in the Portland and the Air Silver Cup. And he's still on a decent mark, and just go back to his previous two completed starts, and he's got a great form chance. Red Pike, trained by Brian Smart, is an improving three-year-old. His mark's gone from 77 to 92 already this year, and an excellent second of 12 behind Telmaid in a typically hot Ascot handicap last time. Went up three for that, which takes him into the 90s, so he's going to have to continue his level improvement. And then we finally come to Doc Hay, who did us a good turn the other day at Pontefract, back with his old trainer, David O'Mara, and he rejoined David after getting claimed after his win in a Beverly Claimer in August, and struck at Pontefract last time after showing that he was on the way back at Musselburgh the time before. The race panned out for him a little bit at Ponty, and because he was nearly second last into the straight, and they just opened up like the Red Sea for him. He didn't have too hard a race. David Nolan, having his first ride on him, keeps the ride, and I'm not surprised about that. The mark's no problem on his old form. Back to form with a bang on Monday, and his previous handicap win came off 100, so 91 will hold no terrors for him. So his previous handicap win before Monday, I should say, that should hold no terrors for him, 91. So I'm looking for him to follow up, Doc Hay.
OK, winning that for Mick the other day, Doc Hay did us a good turn on the podcast and keeping the faith with him. To follow up in the 3.30 then, the 4.05 at Doncaster is the next race we're going to look at. A Class 3 handicap over a mile and three quarters for three-year-olds and older, 20 of them in the lineup, so it's not getting much easier. Mick, what are your thoughts here?
Yeah, this is a cracking race, isn't it?
Yeah.
I'd Louis, he caught my eye last time at York. It was an eye-catching fifth over what is an inadequate trip for him. He was a decent stave when Alan King trained him, and his best effort since joining Tim Easterby was an excellent fifth in the Northumberland Plate at Newcastle in June, which is more like his trip. They found the mile and a half, as I say, inadequate last time, but he's got his mark back to £4 lower than his last win for Alan King. So put him on your shortlist, Ard Louis. Navirak, trained by James Fanshawe, he was... It's only a light season. This is only his fourth start of the season. And in fact, he's never run a bad race, this horse, yet. His best run was probably that fourth of 16 behind Nautilus in the Old Borough Cup at Haydock, off of this mark. And then he was a listed third of five behind Palliser Tor last time, on ground that might just have been plenty quick enough for him. Back in a handicap on slightly slower ground, I think he's got to go on the shortlist as well. Saved by the Bell, trained by O'Mara. Danny Tudup taking the ride. Still got a few miles on the clock, this horse. Already had a good season. Ran well enough off 88, the last three, to suggest that this revised mark slightly of 87 may not be beyond him. Completed a hat-trick for his new yard, Hamilton, Ripon and York in midsummer, and is holding his form really well. But the vote's going to go to Norway Cross, trained by Luca Comani. At Zini's taking the ride, only her seventh career start. She's up five for that Windsor success, but I don't think that'll be beyond her. Takes her mark to 86, but I think the key to her is that she's going up another two furlongs in trip, and she's improved for the steps up in trip, and just the sort of horse that Comani excels with at this time of year. So Norway Cross gets the vote in a fascinating 4.05.
Yep, Norway Cross there then. And onto the final race we're going to look at, the 4.40. This is a Class 3 handicap over a mile and a quarter. This one's for the three-year-olds. And Cleo's interesting, Mick. She won two races in July, then stepped up into listed company for her last couple of starts. Back into handicap company here, Mick. What do you make of her?
Yeah, I saw this filly win at York and at the July meeting. It was a good effort as well. As I said, she stepped up to listed at Yarmouth last time. Back into a handicap company, and she's got to make the shortlist. Incidentally, Pupil is already an absentee in this, but it's still a very competitive race. Top of the Glass, trained by Brian Anderson, £7 higher than the last win, and £1 for finishing second last time means a career best is needed. But the worry is, for a horse who's going to take a chunk out of the market, all of his best efforts over further than a mile leave plenty to be desired. So I'd be just a bit wary of that one. Cape Caster, trained by Rafe Beckett. Jim Crawley taking the ride. Back in trip here after consistent efforts over a mile and a half. Won his maiden at this trip, but just might find things happening a bit quickly. Did at Newmarket last time when he got left behind and tapped for foot when they quickened up and was doing his best work late on. So a strange move to come back to 10. So I think he might just be vulnerable as well. We can't really say too much about Garza. We've only seen him once. That was 426 days ago when he won a maiden at Newmarket on his only start for Godolphin. The fact that they've kept him all this time, he's only got a mark of 82. Pieces on for the first time. Kevin Stock taking off five. If the market's strong, he's got to be on the shortlist. But it sort of leads me into Indy, who... this is only his fourth ever start, and he's always had long absences between his races so far, so it may be significant that he's quickly back on track. after looking a little bit rusty at York the other day. I fancied him at York, and after, especially after that second behind Master Carpenter at Sandown in May. He just looked a bit rusty. He'd got himself a little bit strung up in the paddock. In fact, when I saw him, I was a bit concerned. And he did come there. I think he was racing on the wrong side as well. But the fact that he's out again 13 days later, and he is a course winner here, won at his maiden here at Donny, I'll take a chance on him. He's getting a bit of a cliff horse for me, Indy, but we'll see. I think he's certainly a better horse than 93. I think he's a group horse myself, but he's going to have to start proving it. So I'll take a chance on Indy in the 440.
Okay, Indy there then in the 440. Let's just have a quick summary, Mick, if you'll spin us through your selections one more time before you go.
Yeah, the 330, a very competitive sprint handicap over the 6. Doc Hare did a good turn on Monday, is taken to back up under the £6 penalty, which only takes his mark to 91, and his previous handicap win before Monday was off 100. In the 405, Luca Kamani has got the Cape Cross filly Norway Cross stepping up in trip here. I think it could be ideal for her, and I think she can back up for that win last time at Windsor. And in the 440, the 10 furlong three-year-old handicap, Indy should be all the better, having got that race at York out of his system. Looked a little bit fizzed at York, didn't subsequently run his race, but he's better than that, and we'll take a chance on him in that 440.
OK, good stuff, Mick. Thank you very much. Should be a good day at Doncaster on Friday. Good luck with that and enjoy the day.
Thank you, Mark. Will do.
So there you go, the thoughts of Mick Norton on Friday's racing from Doncaster, the start of the Racing Post Trophy meeting there. We also have racing on the flat from Newbury. There's National Hunt Racing from Fakenham, and two all-weather meetings to finish the day, Wolverhampton and Dundalk. You'll hear it all on Racing Radio from 1:10pm with Sean Quinn, John Babb and Gary Capewell in the studio, so do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to the William Hill Racing Podcast, and enjoy Friday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.